Good morning and greetings in the name of our Savior Jesus. We've heard a lot about praising the Lord this morning already from the first song until now. And in our devotions and in our Sunday school, the lame man who was healed and how God received praise from that. And I was, my mind was running along the same thoughts, just along the same lines. And I don't know if it has something to do with the break in the winter weather or what it is, but this morning I want to talk a little more about praise. And I'm taking the title of this devotional from the 33rd Psalm, where it says, "Praise is comely for the upright." And why it makes that qualifying comment there, I'd like to look at that a little bit. Why is praise comely for the upright? And it would, looking at it from the negative side, you would say that for those who are not upright, praise is not comely. And the Bible speaks to that. And so this morning, as we lift our hearts and our voices in praise to God, I trust it's coming from an upright heart that really, truly does glorify the Lord, and that he can look down and see a people who are praising the Lord from a solid foundation of commitment to serve him, to obey him, to do his will. I'll just read Psalm 147. I'd like to just read the entire psalm. Psalm 147. And here he says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." And so here again we have that statement, praise is comely. And I think the reason it says praise is comely is because it is a characteristic of the redeemed. Those who have come to know Jesus and have experienced the deliverance that he can give, even like the healing of the blind or of the lame man that we had in our Sunday school lesson today. Jesus has done something for us. He was healed in Jesus' name. We have been delivered in Jesus' name. We serve a God who loves us and who cares about us and who looks on us with pity and compassion and has made it possible for us to be delivered from the strong stranglehold of Satan and has brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son and who has given us the liberty to serve him. And with the side blessings and benefits that we heard about this morning already, in the land that we live in, that we can serve him without fear of persecution. Verse 2, "The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." Now, does that describe you and me, where we were, and now where we are, that he has bound up the brokenhearted and he has healed our wounds? You know, sin does damage. It always does. And the Bible talks about that. Wherever sin is exercised or practiced, damage is done. There's hurt that goes along with sin. And if we are a child of God this morning, if we have been delivered, if we have repented, we have also been healed. We've been healed of the damage that sin has done in our lives, the emotional scars and the broken relationships and those kind of things that happen when sin happens. We have been healed of those things. Not that maybe there isn't some reaping, but we have been healed and we can receive peace because he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. good reason to be praising him this morning. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. 100 billion galaxies, 100 billion stars in each galaxy. Everyone has a name. Can you imagine that? It says here, he calls them all by name. Isaiah tells us the same thing. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite, without measure. He knows if he can name 100 billion galaxies and 100 billion stars, and his understanding is infinite, why, certainly he knows about us, doesn't he? He knows the very things that we're facing today, and he's able to help us. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. I don't know if you've ever been in a remote place, like a mountain meadow, or some faraway place where there's hardly any people. And you go out there and you see the flowers, the beauty. Some of those places up in Alaska and up in the mountain meadows at a certain time of the year, hardly anybody ever goes there to even see it. But it's lush with not only grass, but all kinds of blooming flowers and things that are just of unspeakable beauty. They're there. God created them. And it's there for the blessing of those who may see it. But also, I think, even when there's no one there, those things are still speaking about God and speaking to him in praise of their creator. He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. And so God takes pleasure in those that fear him and that hope in his mercy. And, you know, that, I trust it's us. You know, because who is it that needs mercy? It's a transgressor who is here this morning that has never transgressed. It says God takes pleasure in those that hope in his mercy. And, you know, and when we can thank him for it, we can thank God for doing for us what we were not able to do for ourselves. That is praising him for his mercy. And God takes pleasure in those that hope in his mercy. And he says, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise thy God, O Zion, for he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates, he hath blessed thy children within thee. Now, when he strengthens the bars of our gates, what is he doing? You know, in the old days, cities had walls and they had bars, gates and bars. And it was a protection from the enemy from outside so that they could close those gates at night and bar them and feel secure and safe and protected. And that's what God does. That's what he wants to do for us, is to strengthen the bars of our gates and to give us the kind of protection that we need to defend us from the enemy. And we all have an enemy who is seeking our destruction. He would like to destroy us. He has blessed thy children within thee. And so he's talking about the church there, Jerusalem, Zion. And we could bring that into the New Testament age. And it's talking about those that are inside the church, that he has blessed thy children within thee, and he has strengthened the bars of thy gates. And we also have some responsibility in maintaining that wall and those bars and those gates. He maketh peace in thy borders. He filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? And, you know, we've come through some pretty miserable winter weather here the last few weeks. And we're glad to see it go. But he says that... you know, even in that, God is in charge. And even in that, we can find his protection. He sendeth out his word. He melteth them. He causeth the wind to blow and the waters to flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. As for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. So those who have not experienced it can't understand it. They don't comprehend it. He says it is good to sing praises unto our God. In Psalm 63, he says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. My soul shall be satisfied. Does that describe you and I this morning? Are we satisfied in Jesus? Is he enough for us? Or do we want to reach out beyond? Do we want to reach out into the world around us to find a little more satisfaction? That which doesn't please the spiritual, but the carnal, the flesh. My soul shall be satisfied. Are you satisfied in Jesus? Is he enough? Are you satisfied in the church and with the people of God, among the people of God? It says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Satisfied in Christ, my soul followeth hard after thee. And when I think of following hard, I think of putting everything into it we have. Giving it our best, all of our energy, going into following hard after Christ. Finding our satisfaction in him and not in other things that only detract and draw us away from true satisfaction that nothing else can take the place of. Then he says, thy right hand upholdeth me. Praise is comely for the upright. In Psalm 97:12, he says, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Now, that's quite a statement, to give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. When we think about the holiness of God, how do we measure up? How do you measure up as an individual when you hold your life up to what this says? The holiness of God. And this is the measure that we measure ourselves by. This is the book that we live by. Here is where we find the rules for Christian living. Here is where we read the message of mercy, the message of salvation. Can we give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness? The Bible tells us that apostate Israel still continued to praise him with their lips. Now this morning, there are no doubt many people who are gathered together praising God in truth. And their heart is in it. Their life is committed. They're following hard after him. That's where their heart is. That's where their desire is. And God is pleased with their praise. But no doubt there are also many who are praising God, maybe with the most costly sound system that you can put in place, with jewelry dangling from ear and nose, eyebrow, lip, neck, and any other place you can hang it. Unveiled with cut hair. On the battlefield in foreign nations, people are praising God today in that way as well. Is their praise comely? I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to say, and I don't advocate that we say you are right and you are wrong. But I'm here to say, this is where I stand. This is the basis on which praise is comely. We're living in a time when you can every day look at the news and you see what ISIS is doing. They're beheading people. They're burning people alive. They're burning people in groups. They are drowning people. They're committing all kinds of atrocities. And so there is a certain element of evangelical Christianity that says, go bomb them. Go do the same thing to them. Burn them. Not in the same way, but bombs kill people from heat, from burning, as well as from the blast. The very people that are so aghast and so astounded at the barbarity and the atrocity of what is going on there, their forefathers were doing the same thing. During the time of the Reformation, more people died during the Reformation times, in the times of the Anabaptist, or the earlier Anabaptist movement, than died in all the previous generations up until then for their Christian faith. Millions. How did they die? They were beheaded. They were burned. Sometimes large numbers in one place, and sometimes individually at the stake. They were drowned. All the things that we are so aghast at today, they suffered. At the hands of Islam? No. At the hands of those who did not believe that they should have the liberty to follow Christ according to the dictates of their own conscience. Those who called themselves Christian. But they were apostate. They were apostate. And I say this not to pass judgment, but when 50% of evangelical Christianity is divorced and remarried, they're lifting their hands also in praise to God this morning. Is it comely praise? Is it praise that God can sanction? And so that's the question that I'm asking. And it comes back to us, not to pass judgment on anyone, but to look at our own heart. And two things should come out of this. One is, I think we need to be careful when we both say yea or nay. The Bible says it's equally wrong to justify the wicked as it is to condemn the righteous. And so God has not given it to us to judge individuals. But Jesus says we should judge righteous judgment. And righteousness is found here in this book. And this is where I stand. This is where we need to stand. And we can stand here without passing judgment on others. Jesus says, I don't condemn or judge anyone but the words that I speak. And so we need to know our Bibles, to study our Bible, and to stand there. It's not in our place to justify or to condemn. But we need to promote and stand where the Bible tells us to stand. Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Their fear is taught by the precept of men, rationalized according to man's reasoning. And he says, this is not acceptable. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. This scripture is one of the more quoted scriptures in the New Testament, in the Gospels. Jesus quoted it a number of times. Where he says, "This people draw near with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me." And so that's a danger that we can fall into, and we want to avoid that. In Psalm 50, verses 14 through 17, he says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked God saith, What hast thou to do to declare my statutes, and that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee?" Offer unto God thanksgiving. Pay thy vows unto the Most High. Call on him in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. How do we glorify him? In our praise? What is acceptable to him? He says, those who love, we can just turn that on the flip side, those who love instruction and those who receive his word, rather than hating instruction and casting his words behind us. Now I'm going to conclude this by looking at Revelation chapter 19. Here again we have a note of praise. Revelation 19, verse 1. "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his saints at her hand." Now, who is this great whore that did corrupt the earth with her fornication? It's the false church. It's those who are not upright. It's those who have a form. It's those who make a profession, but they're not the real thing. They are apostate. The praise that is given here is because she has been overcome and brought to judgment. It says, "Again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia." Now the 24 elders are the saints of Old and New Testament, those who have gone through the fire and remained faithful. The 4 beasts are the 4 gospels, the word of God, the message of the gospel going out into the world. And they say amen to what's been done. Hallelujah. "And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." God is sovereign. God will have the last word. God wants to receive our praise and our worship, and he wants it to be comely. It's comely when it comes from the upright. And may our praise this morning be that way, that it comes from the upright, that God can receive it. But remember that God is the one who makes that determination, whether it's comely or not, based on the heart that it comes from. Shall we kneel together in prayer?